painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
Today on Artbeat, we get to know Great River Shakespeare Festival even more with a new member of the company. This individual has an MFA in acting candidate from the University of Texas, and he has graced the stage in theater productions ranging from drama, comedy, to musicals, and has even been seen on film. This award-winning actor also has special skills, including impersonations. Today we get to know the art of acting even more. You're listening to Artbeat. Hi, it's Tuesday afternoon. That means you're listening to me, Terry Tenseth, talking about art with GRSF member Kyle Cotton, originally from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Now you're in Minnesota again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you live in Texas.
No.
No?
Gone out of Texas?
Where's home?
My graduate degree in Texas. Now I'm out of Texas, living out of a pod, the storage pods.
Really?
Really. And so
that works out?
For her now. You pay the rent and it's all good. But currently, my permanent residence is Winona State University.
There you go. Yeah. For the summer.
For the summer.
Yeah.
And then who knows?
Where next it'll go to.
Right.
So you do a lot of things. We're going to get into that. But first, I want to find out when and why you decided acting.
Oh, gosh. I decided acting originally in about seventh grade. I went in because a friend of mine and I wanted to play a joke on the theater kids. So we went in and went to this audition because we saw there was auditions, and we thought, what a fun way just to make fools of ourselves and make fun of everyone else. So we did, and I got cast in the role.
Oopsies.
Oops. And then I've just been doing it since.
Okay, so you must have had a positive experience.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know about that first show. I didn't know any of my lines come opening, but it was fun. You know, it was like a fun little extracurricular, and then I did sports and stuff, and then those didn't work out because I had injuries and whatnot, but then, you know, theater was always there, constant. It was great.
But what part of it was it that you enjoyed so much that you decided full-time?
I don't know. You know, it was just something. I had a friend in college who said to me, it's when you can't picture yourself doing anything else, right? And I was like, yeah, I totally buy into that. And so I think that was it, is I just couldn't imagine doing something else. Because I love it, and it's a lot of fun. And
okay, it's part of you.
Yeah, it's a part of you, yeah.
Yeah. Is it for you more like being able to be somebody else, or being able to learn about something else? You know what I mean?
I think it's a little bit of both, but it's, you know, I think everyone has their art, right? The part of them that allows you to express yourself to the fullest degree of whatever that is. But theater for me, I think, was that outlet, because growing up, there's been so many trials in early age for me already that I think it was a little bit of that outlet of saying, okay, let me live a different life for a little bit. But now I think it's different. And the fact that it's just a great way to discover more about yourself and less about, it's not so much about being someone else, really about being yourself in different circumstances. So that's what I like about it. I don't know.
So you leave Minnesota then.
Yeah.
And you travel.
Yeah.
You go to school.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your self-discovery in your education endeavors with it.
Well, my started school in no, that's not true. In South Dakota. I spent a year in South Dakota at Augustana, and I was going initially for music ed, and then I decided, nah, I like music, but I didn't really want to teach music. And then I transferred to follow a girl who I'm now married to.
Oh, so now, sweet.
Yeah. And so then I went to school in Florida for 4 years, and that was great, at Palm Beach Atlantic University. A lot of fun. Really good school. And then I went to UT. I got in, went through URTAS, got into University of Texas for acting, and now I'm done.
So you have MFA or?
MFA in acting, yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But you like music too. And I noticed when I was cyber stalking you that you have done a couple of musicals.
Yeah.
So are you more of a musical type theater person or are you more of a?
Used to good. I think every actor maybe might tell you this, that they go through phases of it. And so there was a time when I was doing quite a bit of musicals and now it's more straight theater. And I love musicals, though. Really, really love them. More Rodgers and Hammerstein than anything else.
Okay, so you lean towards like that.
Right, the classical stuff.
So for the audience, listening audience, go ahead and list off some of the ones that you've done.
Yeah. Recently, I was in 1776 in Dallas, and I played Edward Rutledge. Before that, same theater company in Dallas, Lyric Stage, and I did Judd in Oklahoma. What else have I done?
Jekyll and Hyde,
but that was not a musical. That was actually Jeffrey Hatcher wrote that, who lives here in the cities, and that's his adaptation of the classic story.
Gotcha.
So yeah, not a musical.
Okay.
But Man of La Mancha, when I was in college, I was Don Quixote. Yeah, that's some of them.
So you got some stuff out there.
Yeah.
So other things I found out that you do,
yes,
right, that I want to talk a little bit about is you've done a little bit of film. You did a 48-hour film,
yeah,
I noticed, and right. I've heard of the 24-hour film festivals and a 48-hour 72. So why don't you clue us in on what that exactly was like for you?
Yeah, that was wild. They called me in to do the role. It was a horror story. So what they do is they set up a... I think this is what they do, because I'm not on the artistic directing side of it, but they pick a name out of or a genre out of a hat or something, and they tell you, this is your genre, make a movie in 48 hours, you have to use this line of text. So I think, I don't know what it was something like, I'll see you tomorrow, or something like that. You have to throw that in there. But any mahoozle... it's a really wild 24 hours because I have to get all the shots done, all the editing done, and all throw it to print in by the deadline or else it doesn't air. But that was great. We won best in genre for the movie was called Sick. It was about a man who was a hypochondriac. Is that what it, when you're sick all the time?
Anxiety, hypochondria.
Yeah. Right. So it was a horror film. It was great. It was good.
What kind of approach do you take to trying to develop a character, such as with Shakespeare or what you're here to do, because you're in Twelfth Night, right? And you're also in Henry V.
Yeah.
Right now, you're at a critical place where everybody's trying to figure out the lines of text, right?
Mm-hmm.
And start movement. And so for you, what do you have to do to get into that headspace?
Yeah. Right off the bat, I try to take the character at his word, which is not, for Shakespeare, it's a little bit easier than it is in other more contemporary plays where subtext is a lot bigger. But, so I'll read the script a lot and just try to filter out what is the character saying throughout the play and how does that fit into the given circumstances of what's happening in a particular scene. And that I really just approach it from who I am. And so if there's something that says like, oh, Richard III has a hunchback, right? So that physicalization work, that I'd layer that on a little bit later, maybe. But I just try to take it at his word. And what would I do in these circumstances? And how might I react to someone in a certain way? And so I just try to be a human being. And it's a pretty simple answer, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. Some people are like, totally wait until they start character development, until they meet with the director and see what direction they want to go, because they're afraid to develop the character on their own and then have to switch everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know which way you kind of approach it, because I assume you started reading the text again before you came.
Yeah. What's great about acting and theater, it's such a collaborative art form. And that you have so many voices coming from different directions to try and make this one really great piece of work. And so absolutely, listen, you take the director's knowledge, because God knows for me, the people in the room are a lot smarter than me. So it's I absolutely listen to what everyone else has to say. But I think that the human part of it, of just trying to know, okay, this person is in these circumstances and it's pretty self-explanatory to start off the bat. But then you shape and mold with the input of everyone around you, and you can't know how you're going to react to a situation until you're playing across from the person in the room. So I think it's just about really being aware and vulnerable and open to what's happening in all different kinds of areas. And the trap, it really comes in when you start to pre-plan and start to say, oh, I'm going to do this now. And it's a trap in that, because then you're not really listening to the person across from you.
I could see how that would happen.
Yeah.
You do impressions. Yeah, I wrote that down. And you do a lot of accent work too.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing built out a necessity for certain roles.
Yeah.
Except for the Jamaican one, I was trying to figure out.
Yeah. The Jamaican one's funny. I think it's just, I was just recently in a show with someone who is a deaf actor who signs, and he tried to explain it to me, because I just love to learn the way that people speak in the communities that they're in, or that I'm in. But it's just something that I think I've been doing my whole life apart from acting. It's just like picking up sounds. And he tried to explain it to me in a way that says, it's just like some people are very quick at picking up how people sound, and some people have to work a little harder. And for me, even sign language was just something that is just a quick pickup. But I'm not perfect at sign language by any means, but communicatively, I think that it's just something that I do well. I guess it's okay to own that, right?
Yeah, it's okay to own that. So impression-wise, can you tell me a little bit about how you discovered
Jamaican?
Well, not necessarily that, but Shrek, I think, was one.
Shrek, I think, was the first impression I ever did, because I'm so glad it's a musical now, because it's the only thing I think I ever want to do with my life is play Shrek.
Well, that answers that other question.
So Shrek is great. You know, as a kid, I think it was that generational thing of, you know, just falling in love with the animation at that point when it started to get really hot. And now it's grown and grown. But I think Shrek was kind of the father of that whole era, Toy Story, I guess, right?
Kind of, in a way.
So you kind of just, you're like, oh man, I want to be that guy. Because everybody, you know, he is down and out. Everyone loves him. So, I know you're pushing towards, you want me to do it, don't you?
I want you to do, you don't have to, you can do whichever impression you want.
All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Shrek. Donkey!
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That's good. Yeah. It's fun, because I think sometimes when I would do certain noises or imitations, I mean, it just came from a bored childhood.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Myself.
Yeah.
But it's fun, because then you can add that into whatever you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Any role that requires accent or dialect work, you can just... The best way I found to approach that stuff is really YouTube and watching people that actually speak the language, use the dialect.
Well, I would think certain ones would be kind of a challenge, like Irish... I've heard it,
yeah,
and Scottish
is hard,
yeah.
But Scottish is not that much different than it. But it's right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about some hard lessons that you've learned through this process?
Through theater?
Uh-huh.
Hard lessons. Yeah. I think it's the hardest lesson I've ever learned is really just to be quiet and do your work. I don't know where that comes from, but I think there's a point where you, and that's to yourself, I think, also. It's just like quieting your own judgmental voice inside your head. And it's something about working to the point, because for me, I'm a workaholic.
Okay.
And it gets in the way, because you start working, and you think you should, art is different than jobs like cleaning a house, for example, where you get immediate results, right? So it's just, you don't get those results and you start thinking, oh man, oh my goodness, I'm not working hard enough. But really, you're probably working too hard and you just need to take a step back and just play for a second. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like you say yes too much to the work?
What do you mean?
Well, let's say there's opportunities available to you, you know, and sometimes when it rains, it pours. And sometimes it's hard to say no to certain things.
No, I think I'm pretty good about saying no. I think. I've set up priorities in my life, right? One is my faith, and then one is my wife, and then one is my work. So if any of those things take an effect on the other thing that is you know what I mean?
Yeah. If the order gets shuffled.
Right, if the order gets shuffled, something has to change. So I think that I stick to those pretty well, I think, so far.
Because you mentioned you're a workaholic, and I know it's hard right. to say no sometimes,
it is,
especially
yeah.
when the work is coming in.
Yeah, but there's always work, right? Even if it's not in theater. And so I think the workaholic thing carries over to all aspects of my life. But if, you know, if something's, a show's not working out and my relationship with my wife is being affected, then it's like, you know, it's really not worth it in the end. Because it's about being happy more than it is about being selfish. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It sounds like that's one of those learning moments,
right.
too, for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is learning when that happens. Some actors have embarrassing moments, and some people say, I don't have embarrassing moments. I always turn it around because I am that good. Has that been the case for you? I'm guessing not by the laughter, but...
No, I've had embarrassing moments. Yeah. I think what you're talking about is the point at which the actor just doesn't... is not thinking about himself on stage and starts thinking about just being a human being on stage. But when I was really self-conscious on stage, absolutely. I was in Oklahoma in high school, and we had to do, I think it was the Kansas City run, you know what I mean? And there was a point where I had these really cow print chaps that I was wearing in the show. And we're doing these, I don't know what they were, high kicks or something, jumping all over like cowboys, and... the chaps just came off during the middle of the dance. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know how to handle this. So just, I don't know. I don't know how it recovered, but that's what happened.
Because it's all in what you make of it. Then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And how you react to it, I suppose. But I think when you're a young actor, the idea of trying to recover out of something that you feel like you've been taught how to do, it's like being a student in a classroom and you're in front doing the spelling bee and you get a word wrong and you look at your mom and say, oh, crap, mom, what's the next letter, right? But really you just got to blow it off.
I think what's nice is when you have a team such as the cast that you're working with, you can kind of rely on each other, I'm guessing,
yeah.
if there's that trust there.
Well, yeah, especially at Grey Rivers, the cast is so strong and so talented. You really... you have nothing to worry about except yourself, you know? So it's just like in your work, really, is what I mean. But there's no fear working with that company at all. They're all so, so good. Yeah.
Excellent. It's a positive experience so far.
Yeah.
Because this is your first year.
It is my first year. But they're, I mean, right off, it's been, what, I don't know, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a group like I've never experienced before. And they're just so, everyone is so kind and so generous. And so helpful, and they take the time to teach you right away and just, not even that, just care about you and say, hey, how are you? What's going on? And on top of that, they're really gifted in their talent. So it's extraordinary. It really is.
So what's the big end goal for you?
Be happy. That's it. Provide. Be a good husband. Be a good father someday. That's it.
And continue doing what you love.
I hope so. If I'm blessed enough to be able to do that, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you'll go wherever you need to go?
Yeah. I think so. I'd love to stay in Minnesota and build a home here, build a life here. But I think there's that idea of New York and LA that just kind of hangs over you.
It's on the list.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So... tell us a little bit about the different characters you're playing in this season.
Yeah, I'm playing Westmoreland, who is one of the higher lords in King Henry V's court. And Westmoreland is a very direct. Jim, our director, likes to describe him as the Pentagon, all in one. So he handles most of the war aspects and really kind of pushes Henry into... moving forward with his plans and tries to keep a really watchful eye on him, making sure that he's being a king, because the history of that throne has been so in a way deceptive, and you never know what kind of king you're going to get. And so this King, who's grown up as a really kind of a wild young boy, is now really coming to a honest and noble kingship. So it's fun to watch him grow and advance in that war. But so that's Westmoreland. And then in, what am I doing in the other show?
Twelfth Night.
That's the one. First officer. So he's one, just one of the men in the kind of academe of Orsino's world. And that whole idea of just men sitting around and reading books and hanging out and drinking, and that's kind of what that world is. And so it's kind of...
Nice.
It's great. It's great to just kind of play in that world and be a part of it and watch and love it. And First Officer has the great discovery at the end, which I won't give away, but...
Oh.
Watch for it.
Right. Yeah. So if people want to see you have your great discovery moment.
Come see the show. You have to.
So how do they do that?
Well, gee, I guess you could call 507-474-7900 and get some tickets at the box office for Great River Shakespeare Festival. Or you could go to the website at www.grsf.org, and I'm sure you can find some helpful information there.
And just to note that your picture is up on the Facebook for Great River Shakespeare Festival.
It is.
Yeah, they put down introducing Kyle Cotton.
Oh.
There's a picture of you in World War II uniform.
Oh.
Or World War I. I'm no. I'm no, that's World War II.
You got the helmet.
The helmet.
The shell.
It's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
The helmet. So you can check out him on the Facebook so you can get an idea of who he is and be like, that's the guy.
That's
the guy I heard the podcast. You have a website, so...
I do. I do have a website at kylecotton-actor.com. And go check it out. It's fun. There's a reel on there. There's a picture, resume, some fun photos you can look at. It's fun. It's a good website.
There you go. Yeah, it's not bad. It's easy to get around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Kyle Cotton for visiting with us on Art Beat and to Great River Shakespeare Festival. More information on Kyle can be found at www.kylecotton-actor.com. More information on Great River Shakespeare Festival and to find out how you can see Kyle on stage can be found at www.grsf.org. You've been listening to Art Beat with Terry Tunseth.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.